mercy on this weary soul. Come and take me to the river and make me whole. It's down with the old and up with the new. The heart reset my life, take two. Oh Lord, have mercy on this weary soul.
Welcome to Go Yard with Mama Mac, helping you to hit a home run in life when you feel like striking out.
All right, time for those home runs and time to have a great time tonight on Go Yard. This is Mama Mac along with my co-host, the incomparable, the amazing, the all-wise and wonderful Dr. Angel Falzone. There you are. We need applause for that. I don't know. I mean, really, that's who she is.
Oh, well, thank you. It's so wonderful to be here tonight with you.
Yes, it's... Oh, there you go. Yay. There's your fan club, Dr. Angel. All right. Okay. Engineer Chris appreciates you, too. See, we are in... Well, we started this in September, so this is July. We've been... We're almost up to a year.
We are.
Of shows, and they're all on our website up through June, the end of June, and that is goyard2014.org, and we invite our listeners to go catch up on shows they've missed. And we've done all kinds of interesting topics. It's all about hitting a home run in life, isn't it, Doctor?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Right. Just get out there and live life, but live it well.
Live it well, and stop making some of the same mistakes we make, and stop making excuses.
Yes, moving forward, realizing our dreams and living right. That life we want to live instead of just existing.
Exactly. And so tonight we are on part three of a series that we have been doing. We didn't realize it was going to take 3 weeks. We never know what they're going to do. We just start in and it just ends up being that way. And this series is unpacking from your...
Guilt trip.
From your guilt trip. Whoa. I tell you what, this is unpacking from your guilt trip part three. And we're talking all about that tonight. And we invite our listeners to weigh in, to call. Or to text. And either one is fine. You can call and engineer Chris will answer the phone and patch you over here to us in the studio. And that number is 727-441-3000. Feel free to call if you would like to get involved with a question or a comment on this amazing topic that we all deal with, I believe, in one form or another. And 727-441-3000, or you can text me right here to my phone sitting right here, and that is 727-888-4171. Welcome all the Starcom Media Network listeners scattered in many cities around the United States and now in several countries around the globe. And so you aren't hearing this at the same time that it is live. So we welcome you still to use that text number anytime. We love hearing from our listeners, don't we, Dr. Angel?
Oh, we do. We do. Absolutely.
And you are compiling all these questions that keep coming in. And so every few weeks we have a question and answer show. And those are always fun and get great response, don't they?
They do. I love the participation. And it's a great way to kind of pile a bunch of great variety of questions and make this relevant.
Absolutely. So we welcome you. Send your question, your text, your comment, any of it in to 727-888-4171. Or if it's very long that you need to send, just email us. And that's goyard2014@gmail.com. So I think we're all caught up. And we're on Facebook, which is goyard1340.
Yes, it's... Oh, you're good.
I'm getting there. All right. So got all these numbers correct. So we're glad you're with us tonight. And we're going to talk about unpacking from your guilt trip. And we really have had people comment about how common this problem is, Dr. Angel. So many people will deal with guilt in one form
absolutely.
Or another.
And I think most of us out there have experienced it on one side or the other.
Yes.
It can be quite challenging. I think some of us experience it and we don't even realize that's what's happening because we're so used to it. You know, that our relationships have kind of just been molded around this. And some families, that's how they work.
That's how they
and
work.
And so it's normal,
right?
But yet it's not healthy.
I think there are a lot of parents who resort to this type of behavior as far as creating this scenario that happens where everybody, the kids feel sorry for them, or the kids respond in a certain way because mama's manipulating with her guilt trip.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
It going both ways.
And
the
it goes
kids
both
use
ways.
It too.
Oh my gosh, it goes both ways.
And
absolutely.
You want to talk about like homes that are split or divorced or separated.
Yeah. That's
oh,
even
they
worse.
They really learn. The kids can learn how to use this very well as well. And you're right. I see a lot of patients come in and, you know, the guilt thing is something that's really hurting relationships and hurting the quality of them.
Don't you think that the guilt trip tends to immobilize a lot of people? Kind of gets them stuck in a rut in some areas?
It does. I think it can. Absolutely.
Yeah, because if they are feeling, well, I just got to keep doing it the same way because, you know.
Well, and we get stuck in that trap and then we exhaust ourselves of our energy because we're doing things that maybe we don't really have the time to do because we're feeling guilty and it wasn't a healthy guilt or a real guilt, and it can wear us thin. And then it builds up that resentment for the person that's making you, you know, you that you're feeling that from, and that over time you start to get angry at this because they're playing your emotions to get your behavior to change.
I really think we need to talk about that in detail because I believe that is a huge way that people that are classic manipulators affect those around them.
True. Using the guilt, you know, it's playing guilt off that compassion and that empathy part that we develop as humans. And it's a great, those are great attributes to have. But some people will abuse that by using your compassion and empathy to manipulate your behavior.
Right.
Thus making you feel guilty.
And a lot of it. A lot of it is intentional. Some of it is subconscious, do you think?
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, for some people, they've grown up in family systems that this is just kind of how the families learn to function.
Okay.
And so it's normal to them.
So they just get married, let's say, and suddenly they're doing this same type of thing to their spouse because this is what they know and how to get what they want. Is that why people guilt trip others?
Sure. They're trying to get a certain response or a certain behavior from somebody. And so instead of communicating honestly and giving the person honest opportunity to say yes or no, they just bypass it all, use the emotions and manipulate.
And why can't they, and this is so common, why can't so many people just sit down and say, here's what I need, or when, you know, we've talked about these phrases for months here, you know, when this happens, I feel this way, but which is a healthy way to handle something, but it's not very common, is it?
No, it's not. And, you know, if we look at most of the pain that we feel in our life as humans, it's relational.
Right.
Most of our pain comes from relational pain.
Okay. You want to explain that to our audience and what that means?
Well, it just comes from different conflicts or guilt or unhealthy relational patterns that causes us that deep suffering that we experience. It can definitely, you know, take down the quality of our life when we're allowing it to impede into our world.
Absolutely. And so when that happens and we realize, wow, I'm just not happy, we need to go back and kind of take a look at the dynamics of those important relationships in our lives, right?
Oh, yes, we do. And we need to take a step back because when we're in it, we're contributing. We might be the person who uses guilt at times as well as the person who receives it. And I think we've all probably been, you know, guilty of using guilt.
Oh, guilty of using guilt.
There's a pun for you.
There you go.
Guilty of using it, you know, at some point in our lives and not maybe even realizing that's what we're doing.
Right. Yeah. And trying to make other people do what we want them to do by making them feel sorry for us or whatever.
Or obligated. Oh, after all the things I do for you, Right. Really, you can't do this?
Right. Yeah. And that's huge. That's very common. We know that's common in a lot of dynamics and a lot of relationships. And so if somebody's grown up with that kind of dynamic in their home, how do they behave as adults, generally speaking, with this concept in mind?
Well, when we grow up with that dynamic, it's usually the dynamic we learn to relate with other people in our life.
Okay.
Because it's normal to us. So it's just how we learn to relate. And so what we need to do is start unlearning some of those unhealthy relational habits that weren't productive and aren't productive.
Okay.
And as an adult, that's our responsibility to figure out, you know, I don't let people get away and counseling with, oh, well, that's just how my family is and that's just how I'm going to be. No, you don't get to play that. It's, you know, when we're adults, it's time to let's look at this and how,
right.
What can I do? How can I change this?
With technology now, doctor, there are so many people that communicate simply by texting.
Oh, yes, they do.
And it's almost like the art of conversation is not there like it used to be.
We're losing it. You're right.
We're losing it. And kids in particular can't seem to communicate except by texting. What are the dangers in that when it comes to in relationships that are close, spouse, child, family, work environment, when people are losing the ability to actually look you in the eye and talk to you?
Well, there's a lot of dangers in that, first of all, because we've talked on many shows about how the words are just such a small part of our communication.
Right. We mentioned it last week. And you want to mention that statistic
again?
That
it's only 7% of our communication.
It's crazy.
So we're missing a whole 93% of the communication. And so texting should never be our primary source of communicating. It has a good value. You know, I'm running late or how you doing or thinking of you.
Exactly.
It's got great value, but it should never be our primary source. We should sit down first. The best way is always to sit down one-on-one with people and have face-to-face phone conversations are another great way to communicate. And when we're talking about conflict or maybe just difficult situations, we don't want to risk text because the miscommunication that can happen in a text is blows it up, makes the problem bigger.
Exactly.
Because
okay.
we put our own in things of what we think their tone they're trying to use. So they could say something meaning it very compassionate, and we may just blow it to be something snotty,
right.
And now we're more upset.
Absolutely. Okay, so I brought that up because if we are going to deal with this area of guilt, we need to realize honest communication is foremost in overcoming this being the guilty or the guiltor.
Oh, I like those terms.
Okay. And you might explain those to our audience if people don't know what the OR and the EE mean.
The guilty and the guiltor. So the one gives the guilt and the one receives the guilt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So the one giving it is the guiltor.
Right.
And that is the person who, knowingly or unknowingly, is able to communicate guilt and communicate their desires and their wants to the other, and the person feels guilty if they don't do it. Correct?
Absolutely. You know, it's funny because we're on a holiday weekend.
Right.
And so just kind of talking with different people about, you know, their plans for the 4th of July. What are you going to do? You know how many of them are doing something because they feel guilted into doing it? Oh, I got to go to Aunt such and such's because my mom's going to be really disappointed or this or that. And I'm
absolutely.
Like,
okay.
How sad.
And when does that stop? This is what I'm asking you, doctor. When do we, as adults in particular, realize that in order to be healthy and productive individuals and to grow and mature, we've got to learn when we're being the guiltor or the guilty, when mm-hmm. we're receiving the guilt, whatever. And if it's not what we want to do, then why can't we speak up?
We need to learn to have honest communication. We need to learn to use the word no when we need to use the word no.
Right.
And it stops with us. It stops with me. It stops when I say, I'm going to start learning to do it different.
Okay, but the person who actually stands up and says no, then a lot of times after they've done that, they feel guilty.
They do. And there can be backlash, too.
And there definitely can be backlash.
They throw their little temper tantrum in whatever form that looks like and then
right.
add more and more. But the point of the matter is that real healthy relationships have open, honest communication.
Right. They do.
We need to be able to be honest.
Okay. So people that are guilt trippers, how do they do it? Give our audience an idea of what to expect from a guiltor, somebody who's putting that on you.
Well, they can definitely use underhanded methods to get their needs met, and that's what it's boiling down to. They're trying to accomplish a goal of something that they want or desire for you to do. It's a manipulation. It's a way to influence someone's behaviors. It can be direct. It can be indirect. It can just come from so many forms that I can't even give you a label
right.
to this. But it's an intimidating way to kind of get what they want.
Intimidating. That's a word right there. Is it flattering at times?
Oh, it can absolutely be.
I said that because masked. I know it is. And I know that that's the way it works. A lot of times it's masking. Oh, you know, I just want you to be there because, and I just love you. I can't stand to be apart from you. Blah, blah.
True. And it can get definitely get masked as something positive.
Right.
And but, you know, underhandedly, it can be other intentions under that surface. And so, you know, like we talked about, the guilt trips can often, and they often are a way that a lot of family patterns have learned to relate.
Exactly. Yes.
You know, and there's even certain cultural parts of family, certain cultures that are more biased to using mm-hmm. the guilt tactics. And mm-hmm. it's just part of those family dynamics.
Yep.
So okay. if you grew up experiencing guilt trips, it's more difficult for you to kind of discern what's going on because it feels very natural to you.
Feels natural. So when does the red flag go up, or when does the alarm go off in your brain and you realize, wait a minute, this isn't really good, honest. I just got tricked, or I just got manipulated into doing something that I said I wasn't going to do, or a place I wasn't going to go, or whatever the thing is.
You know, when you start to feel feelings like resentment or anger.
Ah, there you go. Those are important.
Those are really good, like, warning signs.
Resentment. Anger.
They're really good warning signs that something in this relationship isn't right. Now, I'm not saying that it always means that this is in the guilt trap, but it could mean that something obviously isn't going right that we need to deal with. I need to step back and kind of examine this.
Right. So resentment can be a warning flag, mm-hmm. a, you know, red flag up when you realize, oh, wait a minute, I just got duped or tricked or pushed into something that I already had said I was not going to do, and here I am doing it. Why am I doing it? Can you answer that?
Absolutely. And that's when we need to step back and look at kind of the dynamic of what's going on, because, you know, you may find an unhealthy pattern that's leading to those feelings. Because a lot of us think, because it's something we grew up with, many of us have in their families, we think that this is normal and natural.
Right.
And so we start feeling that resentment. So we think it's, you know, benign, that it's not a big deal. It's just, oh, this is just how, you know, this person relates or that person relates, and they wouldn't do it if they didn't love me and want to be around me. And oftentimes it's that kind of stuff.
Oh, bingo, because that's classic for abused victims emotionally, physically. They somehow along the line have bought the lie that the abuser, the guiltor, whoever we're talking about, does it because they love them so much.
True, and that's one of the ways that we get stuck in a trap.
Right.
But the truth is it's not benign. You know, it definitely causes issues in relationships. It's not as benign as we think it is. It's much more dangerous in a relationship.
Right. Yeah, it is. And so what causes the guilty, the one receiving this guilt, to even see it for what it is?
Well, looking at your warning signs.
Okay.
When you start to feel anger, or when you start to feel resentment, or when you start to feel like, oh, I really don't want to do that. I don't want to go to that person's house. Or you're just feeling like that reluctance to do something. There's something causing that reluctance.
Right.
And so those are great flags to start looking at. What's really going on here?
Yeah. Why did I fall into that trap?
Or why am I feeling this way?
There are guilt traps that people put you in. And then you kind of wake up in the middle of it and realize, oh, why did I fall for that?
You kind of feel had.
That's what I'm trying to say. You feel deceived. You feel had. Right. Quote, unquote, had. You feel like somebody just manipulated you into the whatever that you said. I'm never going to do that. Blah, blah, blah. And then you are.
True. And when we feel had, then we start to get angry.
Yeah. And those are warning signs, folks. Those are warning signs that something's wrong. If you want to weigh in on this kind of intense conversation here, it is 727-888-4171. Comes right here to my phone, or you can call in and Engineer Chris will patch you through. 727-441-3000. why are guilt trips so successful? And I believe they are, but for the most part, Dr. Angel.
Well, if they weren't successful, we wouldn't be doing a show on them.
Woo! All right, there you go. Okay.
We'll go with some logic.
All right. But they are logic successful. Logic always works well. Yeah.
Well, they're...
No, like,
love that one, Chris.
Whoa, that bell is really intense.
They're successful because they're playing off of compassion and empathy and those deep feelings. They're successful because usually they occur with relationships we really care about.
Right. Ah, okay. So if it's somebody you really don't care about, you're not going to be as easily duped into being the guilty.
Absolutely, because it's not going to, that relationship quality is not going to matter as much to you.
So you can more easily say, no, I'm sorry, I'll pass on that.
True. So like if my neighbor wants me to get the mail when they're going on vacation and we just wave in the parking lot and don't have a relationship and I can't do it and I say, no, I'm not going to feel bad because there's not a relationship I'm trying to protect.
Okay.
However, if it's, you know, somebody that I really care about, it would be more challenging and it's easier to kind of feel those guilty feelings.
And sometimes it's somebody that we care about, but we also see through.
True. Sometimes we choose to overlook it because, who they are. Or, I want this relationship more than what I'm, the negative feelings.
And sometimes it's financial security. Sometimes it's emotional security. It's for the kids, quote unquote.
Could be for a lot of reasons.
Right.
The problem is success with guilt comes with a price.
Okay.
So the price is that, you know, it induces the feelings of guilt and then it induces stronger feelings of resentment toward the guiltor.
Whoa.
So I might be able to get somebody to do what I want them to do, but inside I'm inducing some very strong feelings that aren't positive.
In that other person.
True.
But I believe the guiltor doesn't really see that because so often they are blinded. They know what they're doing. Oh, we got to talk about this more in just a minute. Let's do a break because we have got, this is intense right here. What causes the guiltor to do and continue to do what they do?
6 feet under screens and no one seems to hear a thing. Do you know that there's still a chance for you? Because there's a spark in you. You just got to ignite the light. And let it shine just on the night, like the 4th of July. Cause baby, you're a firework. Come on, show them what you work.
Prompt professional service is what you will receive when you allow Marcia McAllister of Charles Rittenberg Realty to help find that perfect home or list your home for sale. With over 23 years of experience in the Tampa Bay area, you will enjoy a smooth transaction from start to finish. Call Marcia today at 727-417-0707. Now is a great time to buy or sell a home. Call Marcia McAllister at 727-417-0707.
This is Megan, an independent ambassador for Plexus, the pink drink. There is finally a healthy solution to help you lose weight. It's a most natural product that will burn fat, not muscle. People around the country are experiencing amazing results, and you can too. Check out my independent ambassador website for my contact info, testimonials, and product information at mkramer.myplexusproducts.com.
Is it time to consider a new pool enclosure or beautiful screen room for your family's enjoyment? Family-owned and operated, Boyle's Aluminum is the place to call for timely installation of all types of seamless guttering and screen enclosures. Boyle's Aluminum is A-rated on Angie's List and with the Better Business Bureau. Check out their website at boylesaluminum.com or call today for a free estimate at 727-504-9354. Mention this ad for a discount on your project. Boyle's Aluminum, treating you like family with honest and reliable service.
From the Sunshine State, this is Tampa Bay's TAN Talk.
Just to cover it up now.
engineer Chris is great with his music, isn't he?
Oh, I loved it.
I did too. Always do. Welcome back to the second part of Go Yard with Mama Mac and Dr. Angel. And we are talking today, part three of over unpacking from your guilt trip. And because it's time for people to do that, Dr. Angel.
It absolutely is. I do want to make clear, you know, and I don't think we did at the top of the hour, when we're talking about this guilt, we are referring to the unhealthy guilt.
Yes.
Not the healthy guilt that is productive, that lets us know we need to make some changes.
Right. And we talked about the healthy guilt 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So go back on our website. They're all there now. And that's goyard2014.org and catch those first two shows if you missed this. And if you heard them, maybe you need to go back and listen to them anyway, because we did discuss the difference between healthy guilt and unhealthy guilt. Where we are tonight and wrapping up this series is all about unhealthy guilt.
Unhealthy.
The guilt traps that cause so much pain emotionally in relationships that are not good for you, that are things that you need to learn to do something about and not allow them to continue to rule over you and control you.
True. And the first step is discernment.
Discernment.
We need to be able to discern when something isn't right.
All right. And so many people don't have any discerner working on in the
Well, and it can be difficult. When we talked about this feels natural and it's something you're used to, it's hard to discern that as something negative. So it's kind of learning to relearn.
Yes.
Something that it wasn't as healthy for us.
But you gave us a really good idea in the first part of this show tonight. And you said, when you start feeling like something's wrong on the inside, everybody knows what peace feels like.
Mm-hmm.
And absence of peace, chaos, and resentment and anger. We know what those things feel like. And when we're our insides, a lot of people just go take a pill of some kind.
True.
And that is not what this show's about. This show is about getting to those feelings, dealing with them, and moving on from that event as a productive individual, correct?
True. Letting the feelings do what they're supposed to do, which is be a warning flag.
Yes, that's what
I'm
trying to
say. So
that
we can make the necessary changes we need to make so that we can continue moving forward and hitting those home runs.
There you go. But a lot of people, instead, they resort to medication, doctor, and that's a whole nother show.
That is another show.
But honestly, that is a cover-up for a lot of people and their feelings, don't you think? Well, I'll just take this pill and I'll feel better. I won't be so angry with him for what he just did to me.
Or the stuff job.
The stuff, yes.
That's another one. You know, mm-hmm. when we are having a feeling, there's a reason that feeling is there. And we need to let that feeling and face it and confront it, even if it's just within us. Or maybe I just journal what this feeling is. But we can't just ignore those feelings, because then they kind of grow and snowball on us. And then before long, we're in so many intense negative feelings that we're so anxious or so depressed or so, all these negative things can happen.
Exactly.
You know, and I just, in living my own life, I learned for me that I have to deal with a situation as it comes up.
Exactly.
If I stuff it to the side, I will start to feel that negativity and that depression will start to rise up. It's because I didn't deal with my warning sign when it first hit me.
That's right. Years ago when I was a new realtor, because I've been doing this 24 years now as a realtor, and I was in an older couple's house. I've told the story on the show before, but it's perfect right here. They were in their 90s, and they were getting ready to sell their house and retire to the mountains and with family, etc. Long story short, we're taking a tour of their house. Before I write up the paperwork, we get into the kitchen. There's a really beautiful plaque right over the kitchen sink, and it says this: "He who stuffeth puffeth." And I said to the lady, her name was Virginia, "Talk to me about that plaque." And she said, "How do you think George and I have lived together all these years? We practice that. We don't stuff our feelings." I never forgot that. And that's clear back 20 years ago that that happened in that house. But he who stuffeth puffeth.
It's good wisdom.
You want to explain that?
Well, when we stuff it down, we're going to blow.
We're going to blow.
And it's going to build up. And it can cause all kinds of stuff, health effects, emotional effects, life effects. And so we don't want to do that. We want to practice when we have a feeling. You know, it's not comfortable to have negative feelings.
It is not.
Nobody likes them. Be honest. I don't wake up and say, "Oh, I can't wait to feel angry today." No, I don't. But when we have them, they are a warning sign of something.
And they
so we
are
need to let
sign.
Them do their job.
Yes. Okay. So we got to learn to recognize these. So let's say you are the guilty. You've just been manipulated into doing something that you said, no, I am definitely not doing that. And then you find here you are doing it because the guiltor did such a great guilt job on you that you are in this situation and you are feeling like, oh, I didn't want to come and do this, da 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 da. Pay attention to those feelings.
Absolutely. And when I say pay attention to feelings, it doesn't mean you march up to the person who did it and be like, oh, you're making me feel guilt and you're a bad person, X, Y, Z. No, that's not what I'm saying.
How should they handle it, Dr. Angel Falzoni, licensed mental health counselor and PhD? Those are your credentials. I just threw them in there. Go ahead.
Well, thank you. And that was a mouthful.
But how should they handle it?
Well, first, we need to handle it by discerning and looking at what's going on inside of us, learning the pattern. Then maybe we want to sit down and talk to the person. Maybe we just want to set new boundaries for ourselves and our relationships.
Right.
You know, and the only way we can learn to communicate honestly is by communicating honestly in our life. I can't make you do it, and I can't make the other person in my life do it, but I can choose that I'm going to communicate honestly.
Right.
So when I say I can do something, I can honestly give my time and make that commitment. And when I can't, I can tell you no.
Okay, is there anything wrong with the guilty who's had this done to them to say, you know, I really felt like you were putting guilt on me and I succumbed and I did what you wanted to, but now I'm thinking about it and I realize it made me very uncomfortable. Can they be that blunt?
Absolutely. And you know what? I love how you said it because you used all your I statements.
I did.
So, and when we do, if we do feel the need to talk to somebody about it, and we may at times, use your I statements of how you're feeling and how right. What it's doing to you.
Because it's not like you did this and you did that. You did this. It's no. I feel this. This is what I'm feeling.
Right. Absolutely. And that's honest communication.
Okay. So what if it's not received, Dr. Angel?
Well, it may not be. And that's so maybe the other person's pattern isn't where they're able to accept it in that moment. Maybe they just need time to stew on it and think about those words. Maybe it'll happen again and it'll give you another opportunity to say, oh, I felt XYZ this time too. And I really value our relationship as, you know, can we work on doing it different? Maybe just they have to unlearn too. And so this is a patience process.
But what if the person, the guiltor, blows up?
They may.
And causes a temper tantrum and accusations and does all kinds of crazies. How do you handle that if you're the guilty?
It can be very difficult to handle, and it's about learning to establish boundaries, and maybe you need to re-examine some boundaries overall with that relationship.
Okay.
Because we need to have relationships that when there is an issue or a conflict or a feeling or something I need to talk to you, that I can at least come to you openly and honestly.
Okay, I agree with that, and I know we don't have a lot of time, and we got to get this last concept in here, but we still welcome our listeners if they want to call in, weigh in, or text. Phone number 727-441-3000, or the text number anytime, 24/7, 365, even after the show is not on the air live. You can use that text number, 727-888-4171.
So before we went to the break, we were mentioning that, you know, most frequently the guilt experiences in close relationships, people that we have an emotional connection with. So here's why. If the target or the person who the guiltor doesn't have strong, you know, the guilty, I'm sorry, if they don't have strong feelings of care and affection toward the guiltor, then the guilt usually isn't successful. So because of their feelings of anger and resentment would override the feelings of guilt,
right,
they would be able to resist easier.
Yeah, but if they are in a quote-unquote relationship, spouse, girlfriend, boyfriend, mother, daughter,
any kind
whatever,
of relationship, so
like
then,
that, it's
then the feelings
more difficult,
of compassion
it?
And empathy
yeah.
are stronger, and so it's more difficult to resist.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of a mathematical formula, this greater than and less than type thing that makes a relationship more vulnerable.
Okay.
So we need to just kind of understand that underlying before we move forward. Because guilt trips poison our relationships over time.
That's all you can say about that. They do poison. They are toxic.
They are so toxic and they're venomous. And that's what it's, you know, they're not benign. They're not, oh, well, this is just a little thing. Yeah, this is a little thing. But over time, a lot of littles become a really big thing. And so they're very venomous.
I like that word, venomous.
Oh, I know. Ooh. I use it a lot.
Wow, that sounds like a snake to me, but go ahead.
The guild tours are more focused on getting the result they want. And typically they're blind to the damage that
they don't really care. Because they're getting their need met by pushing the buttons of the other person,
mm-hmm.
correct?
Mm-hmm. And usually, you know who's more vulnerable and what you need to do and what words you need to say. And that's just human nature.
Right.
And so their focus is getting that need met.
Right.
And so,
in other words, controlling the situation, guilting, whatever their need is that they manipulating.
True. So, a single episode causes mild damage, but over time, it's toxic. The venom is toxic, and it causes significant strains and emotional distance in a relationship.
Yeah.
So I might live in the same house with somebody, but emotionally, I might feel more withdrawn, more reluctant, not quite so connected because I'm not feeling like I can trust that part of my feelings to that person because I'm feeling angry and resentful about the way things have been going to get needs met. Or communication or whatever it is that's going on where the guilt was used.
Right. Okay. Got it. All right. But we've got this other factor, the codependent factor that comes in, Dr. Angel. And we've got to touch on that before we get out of this series here.
All right.
Codependency, how do we define that and how does that affect the guilt relationship, the guilt, unpacking from the guilt trip?
Well, when we talk about codependent relationships, it's a type of unhealthy helping relationship where one person supports or enables another person's like addictions, poor mental health, immaturity, irresponsibility, underachievement. So they're relating in this unhealthy way. So codependency can cause us to become the guiltor and the guilty very quickly.
Okay.
Because first of all, we've learned an unhealthy way of in our relationship. So maybe I'm, trying to save somebody from, feeling the hurt of their choices or what they're doing. So I go under and save. And as parents, we can be very guilty of this because, when our kids didn't do their science fair project and it's the night before it's due, I can't tell you the number of parents who come to my office and like, I was up all night doing my son's science fair project.
Really? Really? Why? Why?
And so
exactly.
So what we're doing is we are in an unhealthy, it's an unhealthy helping relationship. So when we learn to relate unhealthy, then we aren't honest.
Right.
We're doing things that we don't want to do and we don't use the word no very often. We don't learn to be direct. We're not learning to be assertive. So which we need to be able to be. And then we don't know how to ask for things when we need it.
Right.
So instead of asking when I need to spend time with someone and I work in codependency, I'm going to just kind of manipulate that to work toward my way because I don't know if I can handle your word no.
Ooh.
So I'm not going to give you a chance to say it.
Oh, wow. Whoa. Okay.
So it can definitely be this double-edged sword.
So codependent people are basically enable the bad stuff in others, right?
The unhealthy things, whatever
right.
it is. It's very common in like addictions. I see it a lot. Sometimes it's just in, people who have poor mental health, who aren't willing to help themselves or do the things for themselves that they need to do. It could be an immaturity. Parents fall in this trap with their kids
all the time. Yeah.
An irresponsibility. People who just choose not to achieve what they're needing to achieve to live life.
It's so common with parents staying up doing the kids' homework. I've heard this for years from people. Well, I'm tired today because I did this. Like you just said a minute ago about science fair. I was a teacher, and I know this happens. And a lot of parents feel that, poor guy, he just didn't have time to get it done, whatever.
Right. It's kind of that savior mentality.
There it is.
And that's what we're kind of doing. We're saving. So we're trying to hide and cover up for that and make, their life more livable because of whatever that's going on that's unhealthy.
Okay. And in a marriage, let's say that is unhealthy and you've got all of this unhealthy dynamic going on. A lot of times the spouse that is covering for the abuser or the guiltor, whatever it is, they're doing that so people won't know what they're really going through at home.
True. Absolutely. It can be for a myriad of reasons.
Right. A lot of other reasons, yes.
Give a list. But the thing is people who are in codependency, they may say what they think others want to hear. Remember we talked about the pretty package right. on this guilt trip. So their very common method is say the things they think other people want to hear. May give nice gifts, may volunteer to help you, but it's false yeses. They're not real yeses. And so they use that to induce the guilt. So, remember when I picked up your kids from school and I did this and that?
Yeah.
And that's how it works. So that usually comes in a nice, pretty package. But underline it's still that guilt trap, and it's unhealthy and venomous.
And it still doesn't feel good when you're the guilty that's happening to. And you need to pay attention to the warning signs of how it makes you feel.
Absolutely. I know. This is deep.
This is deep. I think so many people are involved in codependent relationships these days. I mean, it used to be a kind of an unusual word and nobody really understood it. And maybe we'll do another show on that at some point. Codependency is something that we see a lot. People-pleasing behavior, right? Mm-hmm. People who just want everything to be okay. And so they'll do about whatever.
They will. And they're easy to be either side of this coin. They learn to relate, and this is a common relational pattern for people who struggle with codependent relationships.
Right.
And so that's a flag. It's a flag. So what can we do about it? Where's the hope, Dr. Angel?
That's right. And she asked herself that. I didn't even have to ask her that. Is there any hope for the guilt trip and the guilt trap and the codependent trap and all of this that so many of us can relate to in different situations that we're in?
Well, we need to learn to set limits. It's all about boundaries.
Okay.
It's all about boundaries and honest communication. And that's what it boils down to. You might say, that sounds too simple. It is simple.
Give us an example, doctor. How would you set a boundary with a spouse who is constantly guilting you into doing what he or she wants you to do?
Well, communicate, first of all, with the person, the guiltor, on how you're feeling when this happens, when this occurs.
Okay.
When people who aren't trying to do this or they're not realizing this is what's happening, a lot of times their response is like, oh my goodness, I didn't realize.
Mm-hmm.
When they're purposely doing it, their response may be more different.
Defensive.
But you still need to communicate honestly. Even if you comply and do what they were using the guilt to get you to do, still communicating honestly about how this affects you in this relationship and how I'm feeling.
Right.
First of all, honest communication. Second, acknowledge that you understand they think what they're guilting you to do is important to them.
Oh,
acknowledge
boy,
that.
That's a great point right there. Acknowledge it by, how would you acknowledge that?
Well, I really understand that, your family's out of town and your son's birthday is really important for you to have people that you love there.
Right.
So I'm understanding your need.
Right.
And so, unfortunately, this time we can't make it because we already had other plans.
Right.
Maybe we can, get together and do something else or whatever. But you need to acknowledge that need if you can.
Okay. Good point.
It's honest communication.
Honest communication.
And it lets them know that you're understanding them, at least
right.
attempting to understand them. And we don't want to assume what it is. So give them an opportunity to communicate what that need is. If you're not understanding, well, why is all this happening? Maybe say, you can communicate, and I'm not understanding. Why is this important to you?
Okay, but what happens in real life, doctor, it's been my experience, is that when you do point something out and there's honest communication, a lot of times the guiltor, the manipulator, flies off the handle or goes silent or retreats or is mad or texts you in all caps.
It can happen, and not everyone's ready to receive when we're ready to give. And we need to be patient and understand that, too.
Okay.
It is a process. It's a process on all ends.
Right.
So giving the other person opportunity to honestly communicate with you back is important, too. It's not just about my voice to you when I'm feeling like you're guilting me into something and you're the big bad wolf.
But what if the person, the guiltor, goes silent? And retreats and withdrawals and
then you give them space. Then you give them space.
Okay, so you don't try to convince them.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
You can give them the space. Maybe they need to stew on it and think about it and digest it a little bit. And they might need space, and that's okay. You know, I feel like you might need space right now, so, you know, let me know when you want to talk.
So it's better, you're saying, doctor, I hear you saying, it is better to have the honest communication and say, this is, when this happens, this is how I feel, blah, blah, etc., than to shove it under the carpet and stuff it, because you're only hurting yourself if you do that. Is that what we're saying tonight?
Well, you're not just hurting yourself. You're hurting the entire relationship.
There you
go. Absolutely, that's what I'm saying. Because here's the thing. If somebody is giving, you know, putting the guilt on me, and I can communicate and say, I'm really feeling frustrated because I'm feeling like I have a lot of things to do and you're not understanding my time, and that it's hurting this, I feel like it's kind of hurting my friendship with you or whatever. Even if I do the thing, I still communicated about it, so I put it out on the table. Change can't happen until we put something out on the table.
There you go. I like that. Yeah.
You know, so when we stuff it under the rug, it's just going to, it works, so why change it?
He who stuffeth puffeth.
He who stuffeth puffeth. I like that. And so when I can communicate it, now I'm not going to feel guilty about getting sucked in again, because I'm going to know at least I communicated this honestly.
Right. So then you've communicated honestly. Another event happens shortly thereafter, a day or two or a month or two or whatever, and you feel yourself being pulled into the same guilt trap again. What do you do?
It depends on where you are. You can use your boundaries. You can communicate again. You may choose to not comply this time because you can't. Or you may choose to just sit down and have another conversation. People don't usually learn things the first time. We're not that quick. And that's okay, because everyone has to learn a new way of doing this.
Exactly.
And so let's give some patience. You know, communicate how those negative feelings that you're developing when someone uses guilt, you know, saying how it's hurting our relationship, whatever that is. You know, when I'm feeling angry, or I'm feeling like I need to be more distant, or like maybe I shouldn't pick up the phone when you call. Letting them know how that's affecting this relationship. Because
right.
If it's a relationship they value, that's going to be important to them too.
Right, exactly. And no change can happen until there's really honest communication, correct?
True.
I mean, otherwise we're just going through the motions and doing the same things over and over again, which is the definition of insanity. Yes, okay.
You know, you can ask the person, you know, to express their wishes honestly. You know, I'm going to give you the freedom. I value our relationship enough to say, you know, can you just tell me what it is you need?
Right.
You know, you don't have to use guilt with me. Just, I care about you. I love you. I want, you know, to help meet your needs when I can. So why don't, you can just communicate with me.
Right.
So it would mean a lot to me if you could just come to my son's birthday instead of, you know, but I understand if you're busy and you can't make it. That would be a healthy way of communicating what I need.
There you go.
Instead of,
and then if the response is, I'm sorry, we can't, we've already got plans, whatever, you don't take that personally and go off and pout.
No,
that's so immature.
No, it is, and that's the problem. We emotionally in our culture are very emotionally immature, and so
I agree with that.
Just expressing what you need, and that's like a big deal. And even if the other person can't do that yet, I can do that for me.
Mm-hmm.
So when I have friendships and relationships or whatever, you know, I just really need time with you. I just need to go sit down and have a cup of tea at McDonald's with you, because I need some time with you.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of creating some kind of drama or crisis where they're drawn in to come spend time with me.
Oh, yeah. Right.
You know, just be honest. And if they don't have time right now, well, when can we get together? Because I would really like to see you for a little bit or whatever. But honestly communicating, instead of, a lot of times what happens is we kind of create that problem that somebody needs to come help save us, and then we're just riding in that codependent wheel.
Exactly. Wow.
You know, be prepared to have reminder discussions.
Be prepared to have reminder discussions.
All right. You know, when we teach preschoolers, if you haven't watched much Nick Jr., they'll play the same episode of Dora all week.
Right.
And that, you know, that's how we learn, repetition. We all learn that way.
Okay.
You know, and model. And that's the biggest thing. Model guilt-free relationships.
There you go.
Don't give guilt.
Just don't do it. Just stop yourself, right?
And learn to recognize it. Acknowledge it. That's where we have to learn to discern. Ooh, I'm using guilt here. And that's not good.
So you learn to discern what it is that is going on in that situation and why you are feeling the feelings you are and what you should do about it. And you do something positive instead.
And do something positive. So I can't change anybody in my world, in my life, but I right. can change me, and I can change how I choose to engage in that relationship. So I can choose to give honest communication.
Right.
I can choose to model the kind of relationship I want. And then how it's received might mean that I might need to look at the relationship. Maybe it's not the quality that I had thought it was. Maybe I need to put different boundaries with that relationship.
And yeah, exactly.
And that's okay.
And that's okay. If it's not working and it's not, there's no communication there that's honest and constructive and moving forward in this issue. So you got just a minute here, Doctor. Just give us some wrap-up ideas from unpacking from your guilt trip. How important is this topic?
It's absolutely important. You know, it is what is going to help us to learn and grow in healthy relationships. And that's what it's all about. We can't hit a home run until we can have healthy relationships.
And so we got to listen to the warning signs that are deep within us when we are being guilted.
Or we are the guiltor.
And realize that, wait a minute, that something's not right. And stop what we're doing and think it over.
And be willing to take an honest look.
Yeah. Be willing to take an honest. I hear the word honesty coming up a lot in all of this that we've been discussing with guilt.
Well, because the core of guilt, when it's unhealthy, is dishonesty. It's all about dishonest communication, dishonest intentions, dishonesty.
Manipulation.
Absolutely.
Yes. Wow. Absolutely. Okay, listeners, if you have questions about this and you want more wisdom from Dr. Angel, just text us at 727-888-4171 with your questions or comments. And maybe your question will be on our next question and answer show here that we're going to do soon. You never know. This topic is so vitally important, Dr. Angel. And it has taken us 3 weeks to cover it, but I believe looking at the healthy and the unhealthy has helped. And dealing with it, I think it's been good. It's been really good.
I think so, too.
Parting comment.
Well, let's just go out and start being honest with ourselves and learning to discern some of this. Let's practice.
Practice it and be willing to make some changes in honest communication. We're going to see you next week on Go Yard, as we are always, right here Thursday nights at 6 o'clock, and that is Eastern Time. Tantalk1340.com and on the Starcom Media Network on many, many times in different locations. Dr. Angel, you're amazing.
Oh, thank you. I enjoy doing this show with you. So,
all right. This has been
Dr. Angel
and Mama Mac bringing you the wisdom of Go Yard. See you next week.
Good night.